We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, folks, what's good? We are back. Another episode, Ain't No Seats. And yesterday was one of the more wild days in college basketball history. It's pretty hilarious. We sit there all week, talking, hey, what needs to happen for us to get a one seed? If this team loses, where do we move if we lose? And turns out, literally everything that happened yesterday probably didn't mean much at all. Seven of the top nine teams in college basketball, I think that's right, seven of the top nine, the top six, all of them lost games. So, AB, I'll throw it to you. Before we even get into Baylor, did we hurt ourselves much, do you feel? Or do you feel like yesterday was just kind of a wash due to how much everyone else lost?
I think it was like probably more of a wash, if anything, but honestly probably helped us more than hurt us in the long run, just because of who the teams ahead of us lost to. And our loss, I mean, we were underdogs, so we weren't like really expected to win. We kind of talked about last week how it wouldn't be the worst game in the world to lose. So I just think everything else happening, Gonzaga taking a rough loss as a double-digit favorite, Arizona doing the same thing, it might open the window up a little bit to climb up that number one seed line. But at the end of the day, I don't think much changed at all.
Yep. And B-turn, we, you know, we all show up last night to watch the game together. And at this point, Purdue's lost, Kentucky's lost, Auburn's lost. AB's been telling us all week that Arizona and Gonzaga are going to lose. And so we're kind of sitting there like, hey, are the Hawks in position to move into being the number one team on Monday? Like, legitimately, that was on the table. And we didn't know Gonzaga had lost yet. Obviously, it hadn't happened yet, but AB was so confident, we just trusted it. We were like, Gonzaga's going to lose. If the Hawks win tonight, all of a sudden, we're number one. And I'll tell you what, it felt early in that Baylor game that we were just going to smoke them again. Clearly, it's not how it worked out, but I don't know. What are your just – how are you feeling after that game? I think it's not a game I'm really melting down about, but I kind of want to hear your takeaway.
Yeah, I mean, losing's never fun, but it almost felt like a game – I don't know. I feel like we watched with Chris and AB, and I feel like those two kind of thought – a loss was coming. It was almost like we were due for a loss, and it was like Baylor. It was a huge game for Baylor to stay in the conference and potentially get a one seed too. So it's not the end of the world at all. Like you said, though, I felt like we were maybe going to pull away, run away in the first half, and especially have a bigger lead at half. Like, I was just looking at the play-by-play and we were up 28-15 with 6 minutes to go. And we only scored 4 points the rest of the half. We were up 32-31 at half. So it would have been I feel like me and you were kind of talking about getting it to double digits there before half, and it felt like we could, and we were shooting well from the floor, and we only ended up shooting 34% from the field, and Baylor shot 48%. So yeah, it was just a weird game because how hot we started. They had like 4 points, like 6 or 7 minutes in, and then they end up scoring 80, and it felt like they were scoring every possession there late in the game. So we couldn't get a stop, and just kind of wild that they ended up shooting like 50% from the floor and we couldn't make any shots. Like, I think we ended up being – Oach was like 8 of 22. And, like, it's not like he was chucking, and we always feel confident when he shoots. But just kind of a weird game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a mixture of kind of two of our biggest fears we've talked about all year. Is like, okay, if this team, weirdly, I mean, top five offensive team in the country, wildly efficient on offense, fun to watch, but they've also, we've talked all year, like, why do they go on these long droughts for 5-6 minutes where they just can't figure out the offense? But then also the other big thing that's been weird this year is we just melt down late in the first half of games. We will grow big leads early. You'll feel really good about it. And then things just start to go poorly. And we saw kind of both those things collide where it's normally, I feel like, turnovers. Last night we were not turning the ball over. We took care of the ball. We had four total turnovers. Last night we just couldn't score. I mean, and it wasn't even, I don't know. I felt like we had open shots. We just weren't making them. And I think, you know, we kind of joked law of averages. We made everything versus K-State. Was that kind of going to get us in this game? And honestly, I feel like it did. Jalen had so many open looks, didn't hit them. Even Oach puts up 27, looks incredible, but he's 8 of 22 from the floor, missing a lot of shots he's normally going to make. So, yeah, just a weird end of that first half. Certainly didn't feel good. I mean, to be up, whatever, what did you say, 28-16 with 6 minutes left?
Yeah, 28-15. So we had like, we had a bunch of different, like, 12, 13-point leads. We were up 24-11 at one point, and then, 28-15 with like 6 minutes to go, and we only scored 4 points the rest of the half. We didn't shoot a free throw in the entire first half.
Yeah, I mean, Bill was fired up. The early second half technical was it felt like, and it started to work. Like, it's been a while since I think Bill got one of those strategic technicals, but you can always tell that he wants it. He always gives you that extra boost when he's mad to be like, I'm going to make sure I get this tee. He like leaned in at the guy like he was ready to swing on him. So it got us going a little bit. Oach gets the backdoor left-handed dunk and then hits a three, I think, and all of a sudden we're up four. But yeah, it just, after that first half collapse, we just never felt the same. It just kind of felt like a game that was going away from us slowly, 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 and then they just completely outplayed us the last 5 minutes. I think a lot of people were mad about Bill's kind of rotations, or I don't know. I think late in that first half, we kind of had a weird bench. I'm trying to think. AB, do you remember that lineup that people were kind of hung up on? I think it was Yesufu, Coleman Lands.
J. Cole was in. I want to say Mitch was in for a minute, too. Like, there's just no one that could go get a bucket. And, like, I mean, in those kinds of games, you can't fall asleep for 5 minutes like we have been all year. But, yeah, Braden, when you said we scored 4 points in the final 6 minutes of the half. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at this last night. We only scored 23 points from the field in the second half of the game. So in the final 26 minutes, we had 27 points from the field. That just can't happen against anybody. Like, that's going to get us bounced in the second round if we keep doing that.
Yeah, that's what's crazy too. After we scored 100 plus on K-State earlier in the week, and then I feel like we got off to a fine start against Baylor last night. Like, I felt really good. I like leaned over to Ryan and was like, we're gonna beat their ass tonight. Like, I felt really good. We were up double. It felt like we were up double digits most of the half. Like, it was 16. I think it was 16-4. Like, nearly probably 5-6 minutes in, so we were scoring most possessions and getting a ton of stops. Like, Baylor wasn't even missing bunnies either. It was like we were forcing tough shots. We looked super good defensively. That's why it's kind of shocking that Baylor did end up shooting 50% from the floor and scoring 80 points. Like, they were, they looked awful 6 minutes in. Like, I didn't think they were going to score enough points last night to keep up.
Yeah. I mean, we came out so locked in. And like, I was honestly getting, this is how quickly I can get ahead of myself, but I was starting to get like 2020 flashbacks. I remember this day vividly because it was my birthday back 2020. We win at Baylor, top five matchup. Doak has his dominating performance. I think we may have talked about this last night. We needed BYU to lose that day, or we needed BYU to beat Gonzaga that day. They did, which allowed us to hop to number one on Monday, and we just never left that spot. So in my head, I'm sitting here like, okay, we're locked in. We've got three pretty easy games left on the schedule. We win this game, we're going to be ranked number one on Monday. We're probably not going to lose that number one ranking until maybe a Big 12 tournament championship loss. Like, that's how my brain's thinking. I'm like, we're back to 2020. We're going to be the number one overall seed. And like, things are looking great. And then just so quick, we're up one at half, and you start to see all the things that we're concerned about with this team. And I mean, B-turn, we were talking, CB was so locked in early, offensive boards, we just looked so good, and it just looked like that typical game. Bill Self wins late in the Big 12 to make that statement, and just fell apart. And Baylor's good, and I think what is his name? Green hair, Cisco.
Sohan.
Sohan. He's a tough matchup for Dave. And honestly, Dave put up big numbers. He was fine, but just that's hard for Dave to run around with a guy that's super athletic, super quick. And again, so really we saw our three biggest fears kind of come out in this game, I think. And so I don't know. Do either of you have any major changes on how you feel about this team going into March? Or is this just, hey, we lost to a good team, didn't make shots, move on, let's go?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty worried defensively. Like K-State on Monday or whatever day that we played them, I think it was Tuesday actually, but they scored 43 in the first half. They end up scoring 80 plus. I know we blew them out, but just feels like this is one of Bill's, maybe is it one of his worst teams defensively? But it's like, I feel like they're exerting so much energy on offense too, that it's like, because they're kind of running and gunning, playing at a higher pace. And
yeah,
I feel like maybe the strategy is to outscore teams, but I don't know. I feel like they were pretty damn bad defensively this week. Like, not even trying to single out Remy, but like Remy, for example, last night, he kind of was moving gingerly. He gave up a ton of wide open layups, and like they gave up 80 plus to both teams this week. And I feel like that little stretch where we beat Baylor and we beat a couple other good teams, we were kind of talking about how it looked like they were finally buying in defensively, but I feel like it's almost back to, I mean, we're probably one of the worst defenses in the league, right? At least analytically.
Yeah, bottom half, I think. AB, did it change your outlook? How do you – I mean, I feel like you've been kind of iffy on this team all year. Where'd this game kind of put you?
Well, it depends on how you want to look at it, I guess. Like, you tweeted something last night because someone was saying this team couldn't win six straight games in March. But, like, who does feel good about that right now? Like, there's no one in the country that's coming out of yesterday, especially, like, thinking that they're a shoo-in for the Final Four, even a national championship. Yeah. So it's – I don't know. In that aspect, I wouldn't be as worried. But it's also, like, it's the same stuff that just keeps popping up. We fall asleep for 5 minutes plus per game. We just – I mean, we just disappear. And if that just happens one time in March, it's over. It's all it takes for it to end the season. So, like – I mean, I haven't really been confident of us getting past the Final Four at all this year. But it's mostly just hold on tight and hope for the best that, you know, in a Sweet 16 game or something, that, you know, the offense doesn't disappear for a 10-minute stretch and cost us the season.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead, B-turn.
And honestly, like, what years can any team really feel confident about winning six in a row? Like, it's obviously probably the hardest thing to do in sports. And so it's like, I don't know. There's no – I just feel like we talk about how good our trio is with Jalen, Oach, CB. Like, if those dudes – I mean, I'm not asking 20 a night from each, but it's like if those dudes start clicking together and we just get decent to solid point guard play, I mean, I still feel like we can beat anyone in the country. Like, team was a win away last night from being the number one overall seed. And, like, we're as good as anyone. So it's like if those three are on and hitting shots and – Jalen's struggling from three, but I still feel like he can turn that around. And I feel you just got to hope that they lock in March. Like AB said, they go on those lapses and they kind of fall asleep defensively too. It's like you just got to hope that they lock in March. Like, a lot of these guys played on that 2020 team that was heartbroken. And I still feel like, I mean, they're all super motivated and stuff. So we got a lot of vets too that are pumped for March.
I think it's just interesting. We spent all last episode like, oh, we've got this trio, Oach, CB, like Dwan's fine. And I mean, Dwan, rough showing for us to like promote our clip all week of like, oh, Dwan's the guy. I mean, Dwan's still the guy, but he ends up probably having his worst outing of the year last night. But like we spent all episode being like, Dwan's fine because he's got this trio around him that's going to go get their points. And then Jalen just disappears. I know CB had a really good stat line, but he disappeared in that second half. It just felt like he could not buy a bucket at times. So, that's what's terrifying. And we say it all the time. March is just, you're a bad shooting day away from being gone so quick. And we've seen it so many times where we've had these just, I mean, Devontae Grant goes, not to bring up Oregon, but Devontae goes 0-8 against Oregon in Elite Eight game. Who sees that coming? Like that,
after going off against Purdue the game before, like him and Frank had like 50 or 60 combined. They scored 100. And then,
It's the terrifying thing of hanging your hat on your offense. Like, we're so used to being the top five defensive team in the country where it's like Bill Self knows how to get past those games where shots aren't falling. And we threw out the scenario last week. Like, who do you want? Do you want a high scoring game in March or do you want a low scoring game? But it's like, I'm terrified of this team winning games where shots aren't being made. Like, we've shown time and time again that we can't get big stops when we need it, I don't think. Even just Leighton Baylor, it just was so frustrating how you just kind of felt like we needed a stop in a bucket, stop in a bucket, and we just couldn't get one. And they just – I mean, they had our defense. The mismatch at the five had just caused us so many problems, the ball screen, all that stuff. It was just a disaster. But, I think yesterday was just a glaring example of being terrified of worst-case scenarios, and they all kind of came up. Now, granted, Baylor's a good team. That's an Elite Eight-type game. But I don't know. It's crazy how different it was from Tuesday.
Do you guys think Baylor was, like, that good defensively, or did it just feel like shots weren't falling late or the guys, like – it kind of felt like the guys were shying away from the moment. Like, it felt like Oach stayed aggressive. Like, he got 22 shots up. He got 14 threes up. But it felt like no one else wanted to take shots, like, in those big moments late. Like, it just felt like long possessions, like, people not even looking for shots besides Oach. So that kind of has me worried, too, about late game, like, super close, super tight game, and no one wants to step up and take shots besides Oach. And I feel like teams could kind of key on him. So that aspect kind of has me worried too.
Yeah. AB, what'd you think of Remy coming back? I mean, we've been all over the place. We kind of said we didn't expect him to. And weirdly, like, I'm happy he's back. He made a jumper, or he made a three, made a little fadeaway jumper. B-turn already mentioned. He was a liability on defense. And our whole thing has been like, hey, we're good offensively. Do we really need him? Is he going to improve us? But, like, does it feel like Remy is now almost hurting the progress that Joe was making? I don't know. Joe never got integrated well last night. I don't know. I'm just kind of feeling weird about the Remy situation.
Well, I had a spin zone come to mind last night when I was driving home. And I was, like, wondering if – maybe I'm going too far. Did Bill, like, think this game didn't mean as much as, like, we did going into it? And Remy was finally healthy enough to play, and he's just trying to get him in some sort of a rhythm and some sort of game action. And, like, you know what, if we lose, who cares? You know, we're still going to be leading the conference. We're still probably in line for a one or two seed.
Yeah.
Just get him back into a rhythm, try and get some games under him, get his feet back under him, and see if he can get any of that potential out of him going into March. Because you can't just throw him in the Big 12 tournament or the NCAA tournament and expect him to just, like, break out of a shell and go off. Like, he's kind of got to get some, you know, I've said it a million times, but rhythm. So that's kind of my thought with him playing, because he came in late too.
He was in the final 4 minutes.
Because they called that, they overruled that call where they called the offensive foul and then they said it was the flop, which was the right call. It's just frustrating.
Yeah, just so I've never seen that happen.
Right. But, I mean, that was kind of my thought at the end of the night, was he was just trying to get Remy some minutes under his belt to hopefully get something out of him.
I mean, I saw a couple things. Obviously, people were mad about that lineup late in the first half where we've got the lead. Next thing you know, it's Remy, Joe, Jalen Coleman, Lands, Mitch. I mean, just guys that never play together, playing all together.
A little bit.
Yeah, and it's just like, so, if your spin zone is kind of like Bill – I mean, maybe it was more of like Bill trying to try things, knowing like, hey, we can still win a league with a loss here, because we know Bill is not one to shy away from his starters. And Oach sat a little more than you're used to him. Now, I think he had a little bit of foul trouble. But then the other thing is, like, is Bill – this is not Bill's type of style, but is Bill kind of thinking ahead and being like, okay, we have three games next week. I cannot play Oach, CB, Jalen, DeJuan 38 minutes tonight and then expect to sweep TCU in a 3-day stretch and then beat a Texas team that is playing a little better. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it could be a mixture of Bill thinking this isn't as important as we thought, or it could be just we got to rest these guys or we could end up losing two of our next four, next four.
And like to build on that even more, I know Bill said last week that Dave was probably going to sit for Big 12. So it's also just like, I mean, there might be times where we go five guards and Jalen's like running a five. So yeah, just get as many bodies back into the groove as possible and see what works. Cause at this point of the year, it's kind of just, you know, throw some stuff out there and whatever works, works, and ride the hot hand. But
yeah,
it kind of sucks for Joe too. I feel like Joe truly has earned more minutes lately, and you kind of thought that he was kind of earning Bill's trust and stuff too. And he only plays 4 minutes last night. Like, I think we talked about the K-State game, just like the pace we were playing at when Joe was in, just his speed and energy. I think he's a great spark off the bench, so it kind of sucks only seeing him get 4 minutes. Like, I feel like he's got to be better defensively than Remy right now. I think I don't know if it's the knee bothering Remy on defense, but it felt like, I mean, dude, I remember multiple times we all looked at each other about Remy giving up wide open layups last night. Like,
I don't think you can blame the knee anymore. I think the guy just has so many bad habits he built. I saw a clip that Michael Swain from 24/7 Sports put out that it's just like Remy just – there was a back cut with Matthew Meyer, and Remy just falls asleep, like not even close to being there to be ready for that back cut. Just falls asleep watching the ball, and it's like that's just not how Bill Self player that's been with Bill Self for a while, because – I mean, those are things that you do with Bill Self when you're young. You're out for the next 2 weeks. Like, you may not get minutes again. And so Remy didn't go through that. He just always played through his mistakes with Hurley. And so, yeah, I don't know. If it's the knee, then why is he playing? Like, if his excuse for bad defense is going to be the knee, then just sit and we'll ride Joe the rest of the way. But, yeah, concern.
It was just shocking to see him in that late and that big of a game and that tight of a game. Like, it just seems – that seems odd for Bill Self, like a guy that isn't giving you anything defensively to be in late when it's not like Remy was going off and making a ton of shots and making a ton of things happen on offense either. But it was just – I don't know. I feel like that's out of the ordinary for Bill to keep someone in that's not playing well late. And a guy that hasn't been playing well.
I think it was – yeah, I just think DeJuan was – Dwan was pretty bad, and I think even Bill, I think it maybe in AB, did you think that was kind of like a test? Like, hey, we can afford to maybe lose this game. This will be big minutes for Remy. Let's see. Or was it just like, Dwan sucked. We got to try something else. Let's see if Remy can go get us some buckets. I don't know. But it was weird. I was shocked.
It could have been a mix of both. I mean, we've already talked about it tonight, but the way the offense disappears sometimes, we might need Remy in a game in March to like come in and score 8 points or something like that. Like, I think we can give up the dream that he's going to have 20 points in a game and, like, full-on win us a game. But we might need him to come off a bench and hit a few buckets or get a few assists. Like, I kind of think that's involved. But like you guys said, DeJuan was not very good. And, I mean, at some point, you just got to try what works and see if you can eke out a win. But, only he knows exactly what he was thinking, I guess.
Another thing I have written down here, just in all caps, bench play bad. We've spent all year. I think Bill's gotten a lot of criticism for how he's managed his bench. Why doesn't KJ play more? Why is Clements not playing more? Why is Joe? Why is Remy? Like, where's all these bench guys? Flat out, when our bench guys come in, we stink. Flat, like, we're just not good. Our bench, be mad at Bill Self for playing him last night. Yeah, he made that decision, but like, it's still the guys on the floor that really blew that first half lead. And it's like, so you sit here all year, you say, God, I wish Bill would play these guys, play these guys, play these guys. And now he does. And now we're sitting here yelling at Bill to get him out of the game. It's just how Bill Self is. We're gonna play seven, eight guys in March max. And they're not going to play. Those bench guys are not going to play much unless there's foul trouble. And so I'm just kind of disappointed because at the beginning of the year, we were all excited about how deep we were. And now here we are. Last day of February almost, and we feel like our bench wasn't even good enough to be on the floor and possibly blew a big lead in a game that we felt like we could have ran away with. But
how good was our bench on Tuesday against K-State? Like, Coleman Lance came in, hit a bunch of jumpers. Mitch was like 6 of 7 from the floor with 14 points. Joe was great off the bench. So it's like, that's just frustrating that the bench was that bad last night, because you got guys like Remy and Joe, like high level guards that have been great at their previous schools, and they come in just, I mean, Remy wasn't terrible, but they just come in and really, they don't provide a whole ton, a whole lot. Like Mitch came in, Mitch fouled out in like 3 minutes of game time, I think. I don't even know how many minutes he played, but like he just came in and fouled. And he's like, he's a 6-year senior, and I feel like he's been a lot better this year than most years, and especially on Tuesday against K-State. It's like, your bench comes in and just really provides nothing. Coleman Lands had a couple bad possessions on offense where he just chucked up shots, and then that's really like who on the bench really even played well. I'm trying to think.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Nobody. I mean, literally, KJ had a couple good finishes, but it's like when you're being like, ah, yes, he made a layup. It's like, that's probably not, I'm not trying to celebrate our bench for making layups, but it's weird, but weirdly we've watched Bill Self for going on 20 years almost. It's like, it sucks, but it's also like, this is just how he's, honestly, I think he's almost more comfortable just sticking with his main five, a couple, maybe one or two that he trusts. The problem is, who are the one or two that he trusts? You can't trust Mitch. Joe was getting there, but now that's kind of what I said. Like, is Remy now disrupting the Joe minutes? I don't know. It's just kind of a weird deal we've got going there. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
I want to see how electric our offense could be if Joe played like 30 minutes one game. Like, say DeJuan, like, had got sick or something and couldn't play. I want to see like how good we would look with Joe playing 25, 30 minutes starting point guard minutes, because just like the pace he plays at and how quick he is and how many shooters he has around him. Like Joe, that's what kind of changed his season at Drake last year. He, their starting point guard tore his ACL or something, and Joe started and literally had 35, like first game right off the bat, and then was obviously amazing the rest of the year into the tournament too. So I think it'd be like, because Joe, like, you know how Bill is when guys make mistakes. Joe makes a mistake, he's pulled. So it's like, I feel like, so AB talked about getting in a rhythm with Remy. Like, I feel like it's so hard to get in a rhythm when you're playing a couple minutes at a time and you know you can't make a mistake and you're out of the game. Like, I just want to see how good we would look, basically, if Joe played 30-plus minutes. I feel like our offense would be insane.
Yeah.
The problem with that is, though, is, like, if he does look awesome – then what's the next step from there? Like, do you think Bill's going to, like, give up on DeJuan because Joe was awesome against, like, TCU for a game or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I feel just, like, when DeJuan got healthy, we would just throw him right back in, and then it'd be – yeah. So, I
if
mean,
we're going to let a guy
like, – it'd be cool to see, but I just don't know how, like, long-term that thought process could
it's
be.
A little, yeah, it's, like, it's also just, like, so late. But I do think – We really got to get this win at TCU Tuesday, obviously. But like my thing with that is, if you win that game Tuesday, you can kind of let a guy like Joe or Remy or someone really just play some extra minutes, rest DeJuan, get him rested up for Texas, because you want to win on senior night. You want to beat Chris Beard. You want to beat Texas. I think you can afford at home 2 days after playing TCU. I think you can afford to maybe let Remy make some mistakes defensively, or Joe play a little more minutes on a game where you've now clinched a share. Basically, well, yeah, I guess we haven't clinched a share if we win Tuesday, unless Baylor loses. But still, we're going to beat TCU at home regardless, I think. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm just – it's a weird thing with Joe, Remy, and that whole just point guard thing. And it's – I mean, I'm glad Bill Self's in charge of making those decisions, because I don't know what I would be doing. You know the upside is there with Remy, but – can he get there, or do you just stick with the guy that's been practicing hard the last 4 or 5 months that is really starting to get someone in a groove? So
how worried are you guys about 3 games in 5 days? Like, it feels like games we would win because TCU, obviously we think we're a lot better than them. We got them at home, and then Texas at home. It's like, you never expect to lose at home, but Texas plays tomorrow night, and then they're obviously going to be off till Saturday. And we're going to play 2 games in between then. So, like, Texas is going to be pretty well rested. And we're going to play Thursday, have 1 day off, and then go on senior night against Texas. So, like, that game's going to – if we beat TCU twice, obviously we clinch at least a share. But I feel like that Texas game on senior night will be a super tough game, because, like, you just play two games in 3 days, and Texas is on, like,
Dude,
4 days of rest.
I'm totally with you. I think that game is going to be a 1-2 possession game where we're sweating it out on field house. And that's why it's like, oh, I would just love for Baylor to lose to Texas tomorrow. Then we've got mm-hmm. 2-game lead. We're not losing 2 of our next 3, or we're not losing 3 of our next 3. So it's like, they can just lose. But yeah, they're going to have a ton of rest. They can be a tough matchup for us, even though, I mean, Trey Mitchell, Mr. Bank 3 himself, left the program. But it is going to be scary. Just, it's rare. These guys are in good shape. They're going to be fine, but you're going to spend all week preparing for TCU twice, and now you got to go in and play Chris Beard coach team. I don't care how bad Texas has been. Chris Beard terrifies me. They play good defense, and I can just already picture a game that's just gross, kind of ugly, and we're all of a sudden praying that we can win the Big 12 or at least get the outright win. I don't know. It all depends what happens with TCU, but I do think three games in five games will be a little dicey in that second half versus Texas. Those guys are going to be tired.
Can we talk a little about what you brought up last night? What's this team's best win? Do we have an awesome win this year?
I did.
We talked about concerns a couple episodes ago, and like, what's the way that our season's going to end?
Is it Baylor?
Probably. Like a banged up Baylor team at home. Like,
that's the thing. And I don't know if you were
sick win.
I don't think you were part of that conversation, B turn, but it was like, so we normally have a non-conference game. Like, you think back to 2020. We beat Dayton in non-con in like the game of the year, and Dayton ends up being a 1 seed that year that would have been. There's always just, or the Champions Classic, we'll sometimes get a pretty impressive win in, but we just really don't have it this year. Baylor was obviously impressive, but as AB said, they were banged up. It felt like last night was going to be our opportunity to get that big elite statement win. Like, Kentucky has one by killing us at KU. Duke has one over Gonzaga. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I'm not thinking everyone else.
UCLA.
Yeah. And it's like, we've got a ton of solid wins. Obviously, we have 10 quad one wins, but it's like we've yet to truly beat a team outside of Baylor at home. We've yet to truly beat a team that I think could win the national championship, or frankly, make a Final Four. Like, I don't think, maybe Texas Tech, but that took, we almost got swept by them. Yeah. So that
took an HI3 to win that game.
That's kind of what I'm like. Last night after we lost, it was like, okay, well, when are we gonna? Are we gonna have that statement win that gets you really confident this team can play with anybody? Or are we just kind of not ever going to beat one of those teams? Like, are we going to get to the Elite Eight and be like, yeah, this makes sense. We're getting smoked. We haven't played we haven't beat these teams. I don't know. So,
yeah. And especially like the Baylor game too is at Allen. Like, I feel like going into every game at Allen, I think we're going to win and expect to win. So like, I feel like there's no statement wins at Allen almost, if that makes sense. But like, yeah, we haven't won away from home either. Like, we didn't end up playing in the championship in the in season tournament we were in. Like, we beat we would have thought Michigan State was a huge win, Champions Classic, but they've kind of struggled, even though they beat Purdue yesterday. But yeah, at Tech, at Texas, we ended up losing, at Baylor. So it's like,
that's the thing. Like, our three toughest road games, we lost, which is just, I mean, it's one thing you can look at it as, okay, it makes me like, weirdly, it makes me feel good about us getting the second weekend, if you know what I mean. Like, we can take care of an 8-9-7 seed, but then 4 and then a 2 seed or a 3 seed in Elite Eight, it's like, okay, are we going to be ready for those teams? So I don't know.
Maybe we're due to beat a great team, and we're probably going to have to play a great team at the Sprint Center next week. So, I mean, if we win the first game, obviously, but you'll probably eventually have to see Baylor or Tech with those two. Baylor's sitting on the one line right now, and Tech's, I guess they lost last night, but Baylor at Allen, I feel like that team they fielded there was probably, what would you say, worse than the team that was on the court last night for Baylor? I mean, Cryer didn't play in both, and then Chamu Chacho or whatever is done for the year. So it's like, it's kind of the same team, but maybe worse at Allen. And we whooped their ass. They only scored like 59 points. We were great defensively. So, I mean, that win was awesome. But like I said, at Allen, no win feels like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong there, but I just feel like we win every game at Allen. So it's like,
that's the thing. Like, I want a statement road win, or if we had a statement non-con neutral floor game, like, that's what I want. And we don't have it. All right, AB, let's do a little bracketology. Obviously, not a lot has changed. So I really kind of want to talk about what can happen this week that puts us in the best spot heading into championship week. I think obvious is we need Baylor to lose tomorrow. We need to win all three. But I don't know. Are you still – I think you said Palm has us as a 2. Lenardi still has us a 1. Where are we at?
Yeah, Lenardi still has us above Baylor even. And then Palm has us as the number 1-2. I think it's pretty simple at this point. I think assuming it's Kentucky or Auburn winning the SEC tournament, I think one of them would get a 1 seed. And then I think if it's Baylor or us winning the Big 12, I think the winner of that gets a 1 seed. And then the other two go to Arizona and Gonzaga, assuming they don't slip up in their conferences. That's probably how it's going to work. But no one fell except for Auburn in Lenardi's one line. Like, how is just replace them? So like, Arizona's still 2, Gonzaga's still 1. The gap might be closer, but
How's it even possible to drop us to a 2 when every single team below us lost? And we lost to a top 10 team on the road, like Kentucky, Purdue, Tech.
I assume he just swapped us with Baylor, right?
Well, no. Well, kind of. So he had Auburn ahead of us going into yesterday. Palm did. Uh-oh. So like, since both of us lost, he just kept Auburn up there. And my hypothetical to you guys, and we kind of talked about it a little bit, you guys want to be we're the last 1 seed and they put us in Philly. Like, say Auburn, you know, the committee sides with Palm more and they keep Auburn as a 1 and they run through the SEC. Would you guys rather be the 1 seed out east in Philly and maybe get like a Villanova or something, or be the number 1-2 seed in the Midwest, play closer to home? And I'm not really that terrified of Auburn either. Like, I'd rather play them than have Kentucky as our 2 seed, to be honest.
I mean, two weeks ago, I would have said, keep me the hell away from Auburn, but their guard play is not great.
I'm just terrified of Kentucky. Like, I don't see a way we beat Kentucky. So anything to keep us out of their region, I think the only way that happens is if they're our 2 seed.
Yeah.
Like, if we're a 2 in the Midwest, like, that's fine with me to play Auburn, I guess, is the way I'm seeing it.
I think so. And the more I watch Auburn, I'm not – I mean, I'm not going to be jaw-dropped stunned if Auburn loses in the Sweet 16 or loses in the second round. Like, they kind of peaked early, and I've gotten less scared of Auburn. So it's, yeah, it would be, I think if I see Auburn as my one versus Kentucky as my two, I'm probably going to feel better about Auburn as my one. If that, yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. But
what are the odds that those teams actually meet up, though?
It's true, but
that's true too. I mean, but I think it's more likely Kentucky gets to an Elite Eight. All right, I guess I'll put it this way: I think it's more likely Auburn trips up or gets tripped up early than Kentucky does.
I agree. They're a weird team. I mean, obviously they may have the number one pick and they have the best defensive big in the country. So I think Kessler would be a nightmare for Dave, but yeah, we'll see.
I've seen a million Elite Eight games. None of them are going to be easy, but
yeah, exactly. I mean, we got Bagley and Wendell Carter and we found a way. Like, you can't be terrified of every elite team. It's just, I feel like there's teams we match up better with.
So are you guys saying you'd rather be a two in the Midwest then?
If Kentucky's your two in the East, I think is what he's saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if Kentucky is the two in the – or if Kentucky's the one in the Midwest, you don't want to be the two in the Midwest.
No.
There's still a pretty good – I know it's like a hypothetical you're asking, but there's still a pretty good chance we could get a one in the Midwest, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. I mean –
okay.
Win six straight, we're getting a one.
Right. Like, and I mean, I think we're still above Baylor right now, according to Lunardi. But if Auburn's still ahead of Kentucky, and Auburn, I mean, is Kentucky passing us even if they went out and we went out? Like, I think the hope is, what we got to hope for is Kentucky wins out, takes the one in the East. We went out, take the one in the Midwest, avoid them until a national championship at the absolute furthest.
And yeah, and that's extremely possible because
we've talked about Kentucky's so much better this year. Yeah,
yeah,
that's the one team that's just a nightmare to me to play.
Yep,
I thought of another one. I mean, we can talk about it a little bit. Illinois playing in Chicago, I think would be a loss.
I texted you guys today. I think Illinois is going to the Final Four. Sick. So if they're in our bracket, I'm terrified.
Imagine what Kofi would do to Dave.
Yeah, so I don't want to imagine that. I don't want to get too deep in the bracketology stuff because obviously, I mean, not much has changed. We got a lot to play out. It's fun to track. But one thing I did do, you really got me thinking, you know, KenPom efficiency, top 20 teams, 17 of the last 19, something like that, have been top 20. So I kind of did some digging, some stat digging, and I found some examples of teams that are very comparable to this year's KU team. And the two best options actually came from the same year. The first one was a team that made the Final Four in 2019 and were a bad call away from making the national title game and probably would have won the national title. AB, do you know who I'm talking about? They're very close.
I had my final. Oh, it's Auburn. Is it Auburn?
It is Auburn. They were sixth offensive efficiency, 36 defensive efficiency, which probably right. I think we're 33, 34 right now. So that team makes Final Four and pretty, I mean, they beat some good teams in or out to that Final Four. The other team, Kentucky. I mean, what a run they had. Us, UNC, Kentucky. That's pretty absurd. It is wild to think that this offense is compared to that Auburn offense, because the games we watched of that team, they were just electric. Man, but
also almost lost to New Mexico State in the first round. So
yeah,
I was gonna say that. But the other thing is
absolutely wild that Virginia ended up winning that game. Like, yeah, that's what it took for them to win the Natty.
They had so many of those so games then, too. That buzzer beater.
The other team,
Oregon.
The other team that we are even more closely tied to, the same year, Virginia also beat them in route to the Final Four, and Virginia also should have lost to them. Purdue,
that's
with Carson Edwards. They were fourth offensive efficiency, 34th defensive efficiency, which I think is exactly what we are. So what my brain told me is that's two teams Purdue should have made the Final Four. It took an absolutely outrageous shot by West Virginia or Virginia to make that Final Four. And then Auburn did make the Final Four and took an outrageous call to get them out of the national title game. So does that make you guys feel any better? It makes me feel a little better. I could only find two real quick, but
thoughts. I still just love Oach, Jalen, and CB. Like those three together after watching them on Tuesday against K-State, it's like this team could be – my initial thought was like this team could beat anyone. Like if those three are on, I know it's not – those three aren't going to be on every single game in March, but it's like – think about 2018 with Svi, Malik, and Devontae. Like, I know these guys probably aren't on that level, but it's like when those three were clicking and Malik finally started going, like, it was dangerous. And Malik was nasty in that Duke game, obviously. So it's like if those three get going and – well, I don't even think we need amazing point guard play. It's like, what do you guys think about, like, people that say we can't win a natty with DeJuan? Like, things like that.
I don't know. Sometimes I think they're right. I think when you start saying the word natty, it is hard for me to picture us winning a natty at times, but
I don't think that falls on DeJuan though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, we've just got too many issues that I think can lead us to not winning at all. But AB, do those two teams I just pulled out of the hat, does that, what are your thoughts on that?
Maybe. I mean, when we start talking Final Four, there's outliers like almost every year. Like we've seen 8 seeds go to the Final Four, 11 seeds go to the Final Four. Like that just kind of just happens randomly. So obviously if those teams can do it, we're far more talented than, you know, that VCU team in 11 or any number. Or UCLA last year even. Like it can certainly happen, but I don't think it helps like confidence for a natty like you just said. Because so many things have to go right and stay consistent. And but again, like who knows how a bracket's gonna break. Like if Auburn's are one or Illinois are three or something like that, like we see upsets every single year. What if like Illinois loses to a 14 seed or something and it opens everything up? That happens in one region every single year. And I mean, who knows? So it's impossible to tell now, but
I just it made me feel a little better because I don't think anyone would have been shocked if Purdue or Auburn won the Natty that year. I mean, maybe Purdue and even Auburn was 4 seed, but like that once that team got going in March, you were kind of like, okay, this team could easily win it all. So just goes to say, and it's pretty obvious. It's like B-Turn just said, if Oach, CB, and Jalen are on, a Final Four should probably happen. Like I legitimately think it will happen if they're on, but if they're not, we could lose New Mexico State in the first round. So
It's like if you get a performance like that from Jalen last night, like you could. I mean, I know he's not our best player. Like CB and Oach have probably obviously been better the whole year, but it's like performance because we need boards from him too. Like he only had 7 points, 3 boards, 2 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 5 from three. So it's like he missed a ton of He's getting open looks. It almost feels like teams are daring him to shoot still. And I still feel confident when he shoots. But, yeah, he's really struggled from outside, and he's kind of been weird around the rim lately too.
He's – I mean, one of his points last night was all off CB getting absurd offensive rebound, just giving him a wide-open layup on the – he saved it on the baseline and gave it to him, and Jalen just laid it in. So it's like he really didn't – I guess it was a good cut. But
that's why, like – like I'm kind of getting over the loss last. I mean, it's obviously not a big deal, but just like looking at our percentages, it's like if you go 34% from the field and 25 from three in a tournament game, like you're past the first round, you're probably going to lose to anyone. Especially with how we aren't, obviously we aren't elite defensively. So it's like 34% from the field, 25 from three, you're probably going to get bounced in March. So it's like just bad, I guess, fluky shooting night for how good of a shooting team this is. Dudes are getting wide open looks and just not hitting anything.
Real quick before we wrap up, do we have a line on the TCU game at all? I mean, are we thinking on the road we'll be, I mean, will we be 8-9
right now, if you guys can
10 points?
Tech was a 5-point favorite last night at TCU, so it's probably going to be right around there. I mean, I feel like we're probably the same as Tech analytically. Like KenPom has them right on our ass on his site. So probably be like 4 or 5. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm kind of
Torvik's got it at 4.
I mean, that is terrifying. I mean, like,
are you guys really scared of TCU?
It's Vegas. It's Torvik. It's KenPom. 4-point game. Anything can happen in a 4-point game. So, yeah, I'm a little scared. And I don't know. A lot of pressure now. All of a sudden, you feel Baylor running up on you.
What about that law of averages stuff you were spewing last week? Can we do for
I agree. I mean, if you want me to truly predict the game, I think our offense cooks and we win pretty easily. But, like, I'm just a little worried about – that's a lower – I expected 7, 8, 9. I don't know. I guess TCU was obviously good Saturday, but,
yeah. At the end of the day, they're an 8 or a 9 seed. We're going to their place.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyone have any major thoughts on TCU? I think we joked for the pod, like, let's not dig into – nobody cares about a full analysis of the Horned Frogs. So I think we should wrap it up. I think it's been a good episode. Wanted to kind of get on here, vent a little bit about that Baylor loss and just kind of look ahead to what could be a huge week. Obviously a lot of things. And if Texas beats Baylor tomorrow, we could be on here Tuesday night, celebrating a Big 12 title. And that's what I hope to see. We'll see if it happens. We need our boy Chris Beard to pull through for us and,
at Texas, right?
Yeah, at Texas. So that's all we got. As always, thanks for listening, and we will be back Tuesday night.
Rock Chuck.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.